The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on July 11th, 1973, in London, England.
Because we follow Vedic principles, so Vedas declare that these four kinds of activities are sinful. So we accept. Our authority is Veda. Just like lawyer's authority is law book.
Would you say there are more sins than those four?
What is that?
Are there other sins?
Are there other sins besides these four?
These are the basic principle of sinful lives. Other sinful activities come out of it. Just like illicit sex life, illicit relationship of a man and woman, there may be many dangerous things, you see. So the basic principle is the illicit sex life. Now it can go up to murdering and so many things. So if we avoid the basic principles, the further subsidiary simple activity is automatically stopped.
But I haven't remembered the four, but is one of those basic principles concerned with truth?
Yes.
Which one?
Because Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means truth. Unless you come to the knowledge of truth, the knowledge is not perfect.
But do you specifically have a precept against telling a lie or against hypocrisy?
Well, hypocrisy and other things, they are subsidiary. If one is pure from the very beginning, then there is no chance of becoming hypocrite. Why he should be hypocrite? If he is open, clear, why one should become hypocrite? Hypocrisy, when there is sinful activity, then hypocrisy. If there is no sin, where is the possibility of hypocrisy? A sinful man may pose himself a religious man, that is hypocrisy.
Yes.
But if there is no sin, then where is hypocrisy?
What I didn't understand is how this is covered by your four pillars. Which of these would cover lying?
Lying?
Yes, telling lies.
That I've already explained.
Yes, for which of those four pillars?
All of them. All of them. Mm. And it's like one is in... intoxication. He may say that I am very pure. But how one can become pure, he is addicted to intoxicants. So I heard from one of my disciples that there is a hospital in USA, 5,000 priests are there for curing the intoxication habit. Do you know that?
I didn't know that number. I know that there are hospitals and
so sanatoriums. If the priest is going to hospital for curing his intoxication habit, he is hypocrite.
He would admit that.
Yes. How a priest can be intoxicant?
He would say, wouldn't he, that was just his weakness. He would say it was his weakness.
Weakness is hypocrisy. If you are weak, you cannot become priest because you are teacher, religious teacher. You should not take that post. That is hypocrisy.
But perhaps this is the difference, or one of the differences, between Western and Eastern civilization.
No, it is not constant Eastern and Western.
In the East, your wise man is nearly always an elderly man.
Not always.
Not always.
Not always.
But in the West, you know, your priest is generally made a priest in his early 20s. Then he has thrust upon him the role of the wise man, which he doesn't always seek.
Just like these boys, they are very young, 20s, between 20 to 30. So they are made here brahmachari, and some of them are sannyasi, but they are strictly following this principle. And because they are young men, there cannot be any concession that he can become intoxicants, he can indulge in meat eating. No.
But would you think of a young man as a wise man? Isn't it normal that a young man is working his way towards wisdom?
The wise man becomes by knowledge, not by age. Even an old man, if he has no knowledge, well, what is he? He's not a wise man. Wise means one who has attained knowledge. He may be young, he may be old, it doesn't matter. Vidhattam vayasavina in Sanskrit word. So one becomes elderly without being advanced in age. That means he knows the knowledge. Therefore he is elderly. An elderly person means advanced in knowledge, not by age.
But you see, knowledge and attainment aren't the same thing. You know, I may know that it is wrong to be an alcoholic, and maybe I am not actually physically an alcoholic, but it doesn't mean to say that interiorly I have cleansed myself of all addiction. You know, the fact that you are not drinking for a year doesn't mean to say that you have overcome the intoxicant urge, if that is in you.
Okay.
Although you know it is wrong.
Now, this argument is not very strong. Just like one pushta, freshly made, it is fresh. But if somebody argues that it remains 4 days more, it will become bad. That is sermonization. Now it is fresh, we take it fresh. What will happen in future, there is no consideration. In future, everyone may fall and everyone may become elevated. But we have to track his present situation, what he is at present.
Couldn't it be the difference between appearance and reality?
This is reality. If at the present moment he is free from all sinful activities, that is reality. In future, everyone is susceptible to fall down if he does not carry the principles strictly. That proneness is there, but that is not consolation. What he is at present, that is consolation.
But what he is at present may be an accident.
Why accident? It is actually happening. Why it is accident?
Well, for instance, if you take a man shipwrecked on an island alone, he is not in any sense taking part in impure love or illegal, illicit love. But it doesn't mean to say that he is free from all desire for illicit love.
No, nobody is free. But so long he acts nicely, he is nice.
So it is the action rather than the exterior rather than the interior.
Interior, of course, everyone has got interior tendency, but practicing actually, exteriorly, that interior also is reformed. That is, by external behavior, the interior behavior also becomes fixed up. By practice. Therefore, there is regular class so that he may be purified internally and externally. Sabhantaram suci. Jasmari Pundari Akham Sabhantaram suci. If you constantly remember the Supreme Lord, so you become automatically purified internally and externally. Because the Lord is absolute. So if we chant the Lord's holy name, the name is also Lord. He has no difference between his name and himself.
But you see, we make a difference between the law and the spirit of the law, or the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And we can say a man can keep the letter of the law without in any way keeping the spirit of the law.
No, that is materially different. But spiritually,
that is different.
No, spiritually, the Lord and his name, the Lord and his form, the Lord and his quality, they are all identical.
But if there's no understanding, I was probably saying Lord.
Yeah, you're saying Lord. Lord. I'm sorry. I was saying law.
No.
Lord, you have the command.
Lord.
Yes. But you can have the letter of the law.
No, I'm not speaking of law.
No, I'm
talking of Lord.
Yes.
So Lord and Lord's name, they are the same identical. Just like we are chanting Hare Krishna. So this Krishna name and the Krishna person are identical. Because Lord is absolute. In the material world, the world of duality, the name is not the substance. If you require water, simply by chanting water, water, your thirst will not be quenched. You require the substance water. And the spiritual world, the Lord and his name, the same thing. If you chant the Lord's name, Krishna, or any name of Lord, that is identical with the Lord. Therefore, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you are associating with the Lord. And as soon as you associate with the Lord, you become purified. But the Lord is all pure. Just like if you associate with fire, you become warm. Similarly, if you constantly associate with the Lord, you remain purified. Therefore, our principle is, they are all chanting, just like I'm chanting also, or reading some book, or talking with you about Krishna. So we are always connected with Krishna, or God, in all our activities. The whole house, you'll see, they're engaged in some sort of work which has connection with Krishna. There is no other one. So, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, anything attached with God, that is also godly.
I can see what Father Tanner means about the spiritual man on the outside not necessarily being pure on the inside.
No, he is not spiritual man. He is a hypocrite. He must be inside and outside correct. If one is outside correct, inside wrong, he is not spiritual man. We don't accept it.
You begin with the outside.
No, inside and outside, both.
But your principles attain to the outside man.
Outside man?
The actions, isn't it?
The portrait pillars which we follow are outward manifestation is going to a material person.
Outward manifestation. So outward manifestation, just like outwardly, iron rod, it is iron. iron. You follow me?
Yes, fine.
But you put the iron in the fire.
Yes.
So the iron becomes warm, warmer. And then at last it becomes red hot. When the iron is red hot, it is no longer iron. It is fire. If you touch anywhere, it will burn. Although apparently it is iron rod. But because it has become red hot, it is fire. Similarly, if you constantly keep in spiritual activities, your outward body, although it is iron or matter, it becomes spiritualized. Try to understand this example. Iron rod put into the fire, when it is red hot, it is no longer iron rod, it is fire. Similarly, this body of the material, if you constantly keep in touch with these spiritual activities, then it is no longer material. It is spiritual. The body is also spiritual.
And how long do you think this takes to...
So long you keep in spiritual activities.
For a young man or a young woman beginning?
Well, I say that there is every chance of falling down. That is up to you to keep fit. Otherwise there is chance of falling down. But even if he falls down, whatever he has done, then it's permanent.
You see, in your example, if you take your iron,
yes,
it's hot.
Yes.
Once it's been immersed into the, you know, the fire and it's hot, then it must always burn, whatever you touch.
Yes, that's what I say.
It's becoming. If you take your person, your spiritual man, or the person who's trying to become a spiritual man, and he could have done his best to make contact with the spirit, he doesn't always, after that, be spiritual. He, no, your iron has to burn.
Yes.
He hasn't got to be spiritual.
No, no. As the, if you keep the iron always hot, it is fire. Is it not?
Hmm.
Similarly, if you always keep yourself within the spiritual activities, then you are spiritual.
See, I don't think that the spiritual activities, which are external forms,
no,
can really, of themselves, change the internal man.
Yes, it changes. Actually, you can see here.
You can have a person who goes to church every Sunday, who says his prayer.
No, our program is not like that. We go after 7 days. We are 24-hour Sundays.
Yes, yes. But what I'm saying, you can have this, and they are not spiritual.
No, why not spiritual?
And that, you know, I don't know your disciples.
But that you have to learn.
That I don't know your disciples, but you know, it is possible that some of them, even with 24-hour-a-day, you know, exercises,
yes, our program is like that.
Fail to become spiritual.
Our program here is like that. We have got DTs, 6 times out of 3, in preparation for that, cleansing the temple room, washing the dishes of the DT, cooking for the DT, arranging for the other things. So, they are always thinking of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. It's like we have got so many books. So they are reading books of Krishna. This is also Krishna consciousness. So, or they are going to Sankirtan party. That is also Krishna consciousness. So it is a question of practice and practical understanding. If theoretically one cannot understand. But we have got 24 hours engagement for this world. Not a single moment lost. In this way it changes.
I really don't, and I don't deny that, but I don't see the difference externally between that and brainwashing.
Let suppose you are washing the floor of the temple. It is not external. because there is Krishna consciousness. He is washing the floor or washing the dishes for Krishna. So the consciousness is there. So actually our life is consciousness. If your full consciousness is only for God, then you remain always godly. There is no doubt about it. If you make division, so much for worldly and so much for godly, then there is difference. But if you doctrine everything towards the service of the Lord, then anything you do, that is godly.
Would you think it is possible to hate the deity?
Hate
the deity.
Why?
Is it possible?
No, a devotee cannot hate the deity. How he can serve?
Because you can see the deity as too strong, repressive, taking away your freedom, your own wishes.
Yes.
And so you can come to hate.
Spiritual him. Isn't mean to sacrifice your freedom. That is spiritual. You have no more freedom. You are simply engaged for God's service. That is
why were we created free?
Huh?
Why were we created?
You are not free. You are thinking so-called free. You are not free. You are under the stringent laws of nature. You are not free.
But
you are thinking foolishly that you are free.
But if I'm not free,
yeah,
then I can't give up my freedom for religion.
You are free to some extent because you are part and parcel of God. God is completely free. So because you are part and parcel of God, therefore you have got that minute freedom. That minute freedom, when you misuse for other purposes, then you fall down. But if you use that freedom for the service of the Lord, you have got freedom. You may serve the Lord, you may not serve. That is your freedom. But if you serve the Lord, then you become happy. If you do not serve the Lord, then you become unhappy.
If I serve the Lord, do I lose that little bit of freedom?
Because you are meant for that path.
Do I lose that little bit of freedom?
That is real freedom. Just like this, my finger is part and parcel of my body. So long the finger serves the body, it is healthy. If it is painful, it cannot serve, then it is unhealthy. Similarly, a living entity, when it cannot serve God, that is his material condition or unhealthy condition. When it serves God, that is his natural condition, because it is part and parcel of God.
Where did we lose the contact with God?
So when you misuse your freedom, you have got little freedom.
But at what point did I, or a child, lose its contact with its creator?
Yeah, it is said, suppose I am serving my master, I can think of, why shall I serve him? I shall become independent. That is my freedom, little freedom. So I cannot become independent. That is not my healthy state. Just like, take for example, a dog. A dog is healthy when he has got a good master. And if he hasn't got a good master, he's a street dog, neglected. He's not healthy. Similarly, our position is like that we must be dependent on God. Therefore, in your Christian Bible also, you go for your bread. God gives us our daily bread. So you are dependent. So it is better to remain dependent on God than to use your so-called little freedom.
But your dog can be healthy in two ways, can't he? The dog can be healthy if he has a good master, and he can be healthy if he has no master.
Yes.
If your dog is just running free in its natural state,
yes,
he is a healthy animal.
No, not a dog is not healthy. I'm giving that particular example. Then he's a street dog. still dog has no position, is not healthy. I'm giving a crude example that the dogs were similarly, we are all dependent on God. That is in your Bible also. That you are dependent.
Yes, I accept.
So to remain dependent on God is our healthy state. As soon as we declare independent of God, that is our unhealthy state. This is our future. And your future of you. To remain, that is Vedic injunction. That nitya nityanam chetana chetananam ekoja bahulam vidadati tamat. What is the difference between God and ourselves? God is also a living entity like us. But He is the chief living entity. He is maintaining all of us. Therefore, we have classed God, give us our belief. He is the maintainer, we are maintained. Just like in a family, the father is the maintainer. And the mother and the children and the servants are maintained. Similarly, the whole universe, whole creation, it is maintained by God. And we living entities within this universe or within this creation, we are maintained. So as we are maintained, it is better to remain dependent on God than to declare our freedom.
But you can in this world, within the limits of time and space,
yes,
be a healthy person without admitting your dependence on God.
Yes. We are dependent. We have no wish that.
You can be healthy and live...
And healthy? What do you mean by healthy?
Well, you know, you were saying is what a man does that makes him that. If he is pure here and now, then you know, it's not his inside, it's his
heart. Our description of healthy life is to become God-conscious. That is healthy life. Otherwise, do you think an animal like elephant, very strong, does it mean that it is healthy? No.
So I would say an elephant can be healthy. My body can.
And that is temporary. Everyone is subjected to death. So you may be very strong and healthy, but you cannot avoid death.
No.
So therefore, ultimately, you become so-called healthy or not healthy, you die. That is a fact. So, we do not want that kind of healthy life. Our proposition is that we go back to home, back to Godhead, and remain with God eternally, enjoying blissful life. This is our healthy life.
I accept these principles, but you know, the words, I would say you could be healthy, but, you know, when you go to God at the end, this isn't on your physical healthiness.
No.
This is on your
spiritual. When you go to God, you go in your spiritual body.
Yes.
Spiritual.
So but you can be physically healthy.
When you get in spiritual body, there is no such material inconveniences. The material inconveniences means, so long you have got this material body, you are subjected to birth, death, old age and disease. When you revive your spiritual body, these four things are done with you. No more birth, no more death, no more disease, no more old age. This is the difference between spiritual life and material life.
Yes, I mean this, I think, you know, anyone who's in any sense spiritual or religious or ethical will admit, because the spiritual body has no parts, and so it cannot start to be or cease to be, and cannot change within its own entity.
No, spiritual body is there already. That's why you have got your body. The code is made according to your body. You existed first. Your code was made later. Similarly, spiritually, we exist eternally. Now, according to our different types of activities, we get a body, material body. There are 8,400,000 different forms of body. So the spirit soul is transcribed according to his desire and want to different types of body. This is called transmigration of the soul.
You would hold that the spirit is eternal,
yes,
in the sense that in the beginning all spirits were contained within the deity,
yes,
and at the end all spirits refined themselves in the deity.
Yes.
What would you ever admit that a spirit could fail if after his last journey?
That missions of little independence that I've already taught. He has got little independence. So long he is engaged in the service of the Lord, he remains in his spiritual body along with the Lord.
Now I say, is it possible for any spirit not ultimately after its various transmigrations through bodies,
yes,
is it possible for any spirit never to regain contact with the Lord?
Yes. If he comes in contact with the servant of God, then he revives his old consciousness, original consciousness.
What would you say? Is it possible for a spirit soul never to regain state of God consciousness?
No, why never? He has got chance. When he comes in contact with the servant of the Lord, he revives his Krishna consciousness. Then he begins his spiritual life. So how can he say?
But is it possible, and there is a world one day will end, and physical bodies will end?
No, that is not possible.
The world will not end.
One will end.
Yes. Now, I'm saying, when this time comes, when all physical things end, will any of the spirits fail to reunite with the Godhead?
So when, as soon as he likes to reunite. That depends on his liking or not liking.
But would you admit...
There is no... You are talking of mechanical. But I am talking of the little independence. As soon as the living entity desires to unite with the Supreme Lord, he can do that.
Yes, but will it ever...
So long he does not desire, he'll have to continue this material existence.
And
so that depends on him.
And could that go on and on forever, his not desiring?
Well, how can I say? You have got independence of desire not to desire. That depends on you. If you never desire, then you continue.